From the Brabson Foundation. Today's program was prepared by Don Ulin with help from Andrea Rogers at the University of Massachusetts. I'm Don Glass.
Coming up today on The World from PRI, Russia has its own Cash for Clunkers program, but those cash rebates are only good on new Russian-made cars. Many Russian drivers would rather buy imports. They say Russian-made cars are unsafe, uncomfortable, and no fun to drive. Rubles for wrecks. That story in the day's news. Today on The World. The program begins at 3 o'clock. In sports, Lance Armstrong finished in the main group of riders in the first stage of the three-day Tour of Ireland today. Britain's Russell Downing was the fastest over the 122-mile route from Powers Court to Waterford. The nearly 360-mile race ends in Cork on Sunday. It is Armstrong's last of the year. The Solheim Cup is underway in suburban Chicago in Sugar Grove, Illinois, where the U.S. is hosting the top women golfers from Europe. The first 2 days of the three-day event consists of 16 team matches, and the tournament closes with 12 singles matches on Sunday. As defending champions, the Americans need 14 of the 28 points to retain the cup. Europe needs 14 and a half to take it away. The St. Louis Cardinals have won 17 of their last 22 and are 17 games over 500 heading into tonight's game in San Diego. Kyle Loesch gets the start against the Padres tonight. The Chicago Cubs continue their series with the Dodgers in Los Angeles tonight. Rookie right-hander Randy Wells will start for the Cubs. He's trying for his 10th victory of the season. The Chicago White Sox have one more home series this weekend before they begin a key road trip to Boston, New York, and Minnesota. Gavin Floyd will pitch tonight's series opener against Baltimore. The Sox trail Detroit by 2.5 games in the American League Central. And Colts quarterback Peyton Manning is playing like he's in midseason form. He threw two touchdown passes last night to lead Indianapolis to a 23-15 preseason victory at home against Philadelphia. He finished 10 of 14 for 167 yards. That's sports.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Radio Maria in downtown Champaign, now with a new dinner menu. Tapas served every evening until 2 a.m., along with lunch on Friday from 10:30 to 2:30, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Information on menus, wine, and beer lists is at RadioMariaRestaurant.com.
It's 2:43. Illinois Republicans hope to make inroads with voters next year. The GOP will be sure to point out failings of the Democratic Party, including the scandal surrounding former Governor Rod Blagojevich. While they want to rally around that message, Sean Crawford reports Republicans will also have to gear up for what could become a divisive primary.
I'm Matt Murphy, and I'm running to be your governor.
More than half a dozen Republicans say they're running for governor. Palatine State Senator Matt Murphy is one of them. He's already out with an ad, and it goes on the attack.
One of my Republican opponents even joined Todd Stroger to raise taxes on families and back Blagojevich's $10 billion spending spree. As a longtime insider, he just went along with it. I never will.
Murphy's State Senate colleague Kirk Dillard is considered by many to be the frontrunner for the party's nomination. While the ad leaves out Dillard's name, it's clear he's the focus. Senator Murphy.
I didn't mention Kirk Dillard by name in the ad because it's not really about him. The point of the ad is to say we are in a position to create a contrast as Republicans with the Democrats, and we can do that on jobs and corruption. And we need to put forth the most credible messenger to create that contrast with the Democrat nominee.
Dillard was quick to respond.
The vote he spoke of gave suburbanites control of mass transit, which will lead to better management of the systems, and it saved over $2 billion in pension concessions from the drivers' union. So if Matt thinks there's $2 billion to just throw away in mass transit, I'm not sure he's the right guy to lead Illinois.
Dillard also says some of the Republicans eyeing the governor's race should step aside. The harsh rhetoric could be a harbinger of what's to come. Republicans gathered in Springfield to show party unity. However, the GOP in Illinois has been anything but unified. Moderates and more hardcore conservatives have been waging a war of ideologies that has contributed to the party sinking to one of its lowest points. Republicans hold no statewide offices and have even had difficulty fielding a full slate of candidates. But not in the race for governor, not this time. There's a crowded field. DuPage County Board Chairman Bob Schillerstrom wants the nomination too. He says while there's heavy interest, it doesn't have to be a bad thing.
We have to recognize that there's really only one goal here, and that's to win in November. And we can have a spirited primary, and I think that there's a lot of issues to talk about. There's a lot of problems in Illinois, and we should be talking about solutions. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not here to talk bad about other Republicans.
I think it's clear that the Republican Party needs to know before the Democrats label our candidate what their candidate stands for.
Bill Brady, a Bloomington state senator, is another Republican running for governor.
I differed with Kirk Dillard on his tax increase vote. I think it was a bad vote. Republicans shouldn't be increasing sales taxes on Illinois citizens. I've disagreed with Matt Murphy on using gaming as a way to bail us out of our financial troubles. So there are differences, and those differences should be pointed out.
Brady says the key will be to stick to issues and stay above board during the campaign. Republicans aren't alone in wondering how a gubernatorial primary will affect the general election. Democrats have their own, with Governor Pat Quinn and Comptroller Dan Hynes facing off. Republicans have an opportunity to take advantage. They want to focus on what's gone wrong with Democrats in charge. But instead of taking aim at the other party, the GOP candidates are already targeting each other. Republicans once held the state's top job for more than a quarter century. They see next year's elections as a chance to return to the governor's mansion. But before that can happen, the party has to get its own house in order. I'm Sean Crawford.
Organizers of the Illinois State Fair like to say that there's something for everyone at the fair. Kids are typically excited by the carnival rides and petting zoo. Some people are into the competition. The fair is their opportunity to try for a blue ribbon goat, steer, apple pie, or quilt. Others go to the fair for the grandstand concerts or to party in the beer tents. Reporter Amanda Vinicky goes for another reason, the food. Her usual favorites include a cone of Belgian-style French fries, old-fashioned milkshakes, and a fried Twinkie. But this year, she tried something different. She went on a search for something healthy to eat. Her results in this report.
When you first get to the fair, there are two smells competing to overwhelm you. There's the odor you'd expect when it's a hot summer day nearby barns full of cows, sheep, and pigs. But the smell that always wins out for me is the smell of food. Whiffs of barbecue, popcorn, nuts roasting in cinnamon, the unmistakable scent of a hot dog dipped in corn batter and fried. It's a classic fair food, and in Illinois, the most popular place to get a corn dog is at Vose's, where Bob Vose has been serving them up for 40 years.
Ours are hand-dipped. Everyone's hand-dipped. They're not frozen. They're not cooked ahead or pre-cooked or whatever, like, you know, probably some of them do it.
Now, on these corn dogs, four of the five basic food groups are in those corn dogs, and if you nibble on that wooden stick, that's fiber, and that's all five of them. The happiest people at the fairgrounds are the ones that eat corn dogs because they're so healthy.
Oh, and Vose's. Right. Got to be from Vose's.
That's Bob's brother, Paul Vose, who helps work the stand. I caught him on a break while he was sitting at a picnic table with two Springfield women, one of whom insisted Vose's corn dogs with their secret sweet recipe batter.
It's the most healthiest food at the Illinois State Fair.
Tasty, yes, but as to whether or not it's the healthiest, I'm not convinced. On I go, past stands selling funnel cakes, cheese curds, jalapeno poppers, elephant ears, and jumbo cookies. Nearly every vendor offers another fair classic, the lemon shake-up. It's like lemonade, but like a good martini, shaken, not stirred. A good one has a full half of a squeezed lemon mixed with water and a heaping dose of sugar. Surely this qualifies as junk food. But, says Peggy Culp, who sells them at her pita stand, it doesn't have to be.
We do our lemon shake-ups with sugar-free, sweet and low. So, you know, we carry that for the diabetics.
Culp adds that she can make her pitas, which have fresh lettuce, tomatoes, and onions, without the grilled chicken or beef for vegetarians. And there are plenty of places to get meat, a turkey leg, ribeye, or pork chop on a stick for anyone counting carbs.
If you're out here for a search for something, there is all kinds of food at this fair. There's food you probably never have heard of before, healthy or otherwise, but it's out here. Just look.
With that advice in mind and with my thirst quenched, I kept on walking through the fair, past pizza on a stick, alligator on a stick, cheesecake on a stick. It seems obvious that these items don't qualify as nutritious, but there's no real way to know. Fat, calories, and sodium aren't posted anywhere. And upon asking, most vendors don't know themselves. Fair director Amy Bleefnik says there are no plans to require this information. And unlike the Indiana State Fair, she says Illinois won't ban trans fats.
You know, when they come for a corn dog, I don't think most people care if it's got trans fat or not. So, my philosophy is this. It's a day or two or a week, however long it is, out of the whole entire year. So diet 360 days a year and then come to the fair and pig out and enjoy.
But she does offer a tip for those people who do want to eat healthy.
Great spot to go is to Farmer's Market over in Gate 2 area, right by the Department of Agriculture. They have the best fresh fruit. You can even purchase a salad.
At the Farmer's Market, there's fresh peaches, watermelon, even a fair hallmark, something on a stick. In this case, a hard-boiled egg. Carolyn Johnson, who's from Mantino, is there polishing off 2 ears of fresh steamed sweet corn.
It's just... the flavor is phenomenal. It's sweet. It's almost like candy. It's that sweet.
Sure, she says, the fried food smells great, and she admits to an occasional bite of her son's and husband's more typical fair food choices. But generally, she says, she'd rather stick with the fruits and veggies.
High sugar, high fat, high cholesterol, high, you name it, high calorie, high everything, and I just don't eat that way.
Still, I, for one, can't help but be enticed by the smell of fried food wafting over from just about 100 or so yards away. I have to, I must, stop by my favorite stand, the Fried What booth.
We got fried Oreos and fried Girl Scout peanut butter cookies. We've got the Snickers and the Milky Ways. We got the regular Twinkie. We got a Twinkie that's been dipped in chocolate, then battered and fried. We've got the cheesecake and the key lime pie and the new sundae. Then we've got jalapeno poppers, mushrooms, pickles, tomatoes, zucchini.
As Norma Bowers sets batter-coated spears of zucchini into oil sizzling at 350 degrees, she says she doesn't know or care how unhealthy it is.
You know, that's not the purpose of the fair. You know, the fair, you know, you come out, you have fun. You know, I don't have anybody come out here and eat a box of Twinkies.
The fried zucchini's good. The batter has a sort of Cajun seasoning, and the vegetables stay crispy. If zucchini's fried, can I still justify it as eating a healthy vegetable? Does corn on the cob count as healthy if it's soaked in a bucket of butter? It's good to eat fruit, but is it still the case if the apple is coated in caramel and the strawberries dipped in chocolate? I propose these concerns to a couple eating a fajita grilled on a 5-foot-wide skillet. Chelsea Musgrave, who's come to the fair from Southern Illinois, says, like me, her favorite part of the fair is food. So much so that she and her friends scouted the stands one night for what looked tasty, then came back the next morning with an eating game plan.
We're just walking around to then burn off calories to then eat more food.
Musgrave bites into her fajita with a smile and offers this assessment. Sure, you can find something healthy at the fair, but why would you want to? Satisfied and stuffed, I'm Amanda Vinicky.
I think she's in need of an Alka-Seltzer. It's 2:54. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Your home may be your castle, but for some people, too many homes are as big and grand as castles. Critics call these homes McMansions, and they complain they've ruined neighborhoods filled with older, smaller houses. The McMansion fad fizzled during the real estate bust. Sean Ali looks at whether or not it could return.
I head to a Chicago suburb called Hinsdale to understand the hubbub about McMansions. Over the past 20 years, 1 in 3 Hinsdale homes got torn down to make room for mostly bigger ones. Brian Hickey drives me past one-story brick and wood houses. Then there's this huge one with stucco and Spanish tile.
This is a example of something that somebody would go, wow, that's more Florida-like. You know, what happened?
It looks like it stepped out of the set of Miami Vice or something like that.
Yeah.
Bigger, mismatched homes sprouted up in Hinsdale during the real estate boom. And for some, Brian Hickey is partly to blame. You see, he runs teardowns.com. Hickey finds and sells homes to tear down and maybe replace with McMansions, or replacement homes, as he calls them. Anyway, during the housing bubble, teardowns increased, and so did complaints.
Well, some of the arguments I've heard against the teardown phenomenon is that, look, we're basically tossing perfectly workable houses into landfills.
See, that's not accurate. To take some of these homes and bring it up to what people in this community would expect in terms of housing amenities, it doesn't make sense to renovate when you can build new for less.
The big home trend faded recently, but if the soft real estate market improves, you gotta wonder, are people gonna build big again, or will they keep older, smaller homes? Hickey thinks old homes might lose out.
At some point, a buyer simply, you know, won't pay that price to live there.
In that one story.
In that one story, two bedrooms, small kitchen. You know, the land will be where the value is.
Some real estate pros say Hickey is right. People want big, and they're going to build what they want, where they want. Others say the game has changed. Local governments in Dallas, Denver, and other cities are starting to regulate teardowns, like Hinsdale did. Robert McGinnis prints me out 60 pages of Hinsdale's building codes.
It's hot off the press. It's still warm.
McGinnis runs Hinsdale's building commission. He says the code got up to 60 pages partly because of teardown complaints.
Pollution issues, the loss of sunlight in some cases.
Loss of sunlight? What do you mean by that?
Because some of these houses are so tall that they end up physically blocking out some of the sunlight.
McGinnis says it's hard to stop teardowns. You can just delay or improve them.
You know, I would like to think at some point Joe Q Public says, you know what, boy, I really like to live in Hinsdale, but I can't afford to heat and cool a McMansion. So they're going to take a look at building a smaller home.
But McGinnis says this could be wishful thinking, so I thought I'd ask some Hinsdale homeowners about this small home idea. And wouldn't you know it, just outside McGinnis's office, I find Greta Filman of Ashuta. She's stuffing official demolition signs into her car.
I was getting my permits. We're going to tear down the old house, and we are building the new house.
Are you guys looking at a house that's bigger than what you have now?
No, actually, we are sizing down. But that's because we are only a three-person family, and I don't want to have a huge house. And then we have high utility bills. This is a perfection for us, actually.
Filman of Ashuta says preservationists might not like that she's tearing down her home, but her neighbors are glad that she's keeping things modest. And she says she'd be proud to be starting a small home trend. For the Environment Report, I'm Sean Ali.
Earth and Sky.